Sunday morning, February the 1st, 2015, study on Christian responsibility. Again, like I want to eventually get into that. On that, we looked again the aim of what the class would be to understand the individual work of a Christian in the kingdom of God and the function, how I function myself for that responsibility that I sustain. Who's my relationship with? In Acts 2 and verse 47, the words there are recorded, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be and saved. At that moment, or at that time, that I'm added to the church, who is my relationship with?
Christ.
Christ or? Or the Father that I'm reconciled. So that's the only one at that time, okay? When you look at Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, Paul there says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. At that time that I'm added to the church, I begin to receive those spiritual blessings because of the relationship that I now sustain with the Father. Because of my faith in Jesus Christ, the Father blesses me with that relationship. He does not put me in no kind of relationship at that time with anybody else, just me and the Father. Okay? And we understand that from the examples maybe of the eunuch in Acts chapter 9, that when he obeyed the gospel, who was his relationship with? He was the only one there. At that time, he was added to the church. His relationship began with whom? The Father. He began to receive those spiritual blessings. But also at that time, because of that relationship that he then at that time sustained to the Father, came responsibilities. Okay? We understand that in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. After the conversion of Saul, when he says, and when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him. Was Paul already in the kingdom before he came to Jerusalem? Yes, okay. But who was his relationship with? The Father, okay. So what was the purpose that he tried to join himself with the disciples at Jerusalem?
He had various responsibilities to the Father that he had to carry out in a collective.
Okay. And in joining himself, then he became in a relationship of a different kind, did he not? He then was with others, the church in particular at Jerusalem. And so again, hopefully you can see the two. And they're not the same. That you have responsibilities separate and apart from the local because of the relationship with the Father. And we're going to look at fellowship some of what fellowship involves. That at the time that I have a sharing with or the Father at that time and no one else. Until I place myself in that position of trying to join or say myself to a local. And then a different type of fellowship, if you will, takes place between me and someone else because of a common bond that we have with the Father, that we have that relationship with the Father. So that's kind of where I want to go with it. We looked last week at an individual's responsibility in three aspects, that being in society, in the home, and we dealt with the home as far as the Father's responsibility, but there's more than just the idea of teaching the children in the home, the spiritual aspect. The home is not a spiritual place, okay? The church is the only spiritual organization. All these others is going to cease in this life, but that aspect of the church is spiritual, will never cease. So we need to keep that in mind. So individuals have more than just the teaching or the spiritual aspect in the home, okay? And also we looked at the civil government, even though everyone has responsibility to the civil government. In particular, the Christians should abide by the laws, maybe when those who are not Christians or don't believe so, do not. That God has set guidelines how I'm to function in society and in the home and in the civil government. And again, that's what the verses that we used in 1 Timothy 5 deal with as far as some of those responsibilities. When you look at 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, someone, if you will, read that. Okay, Paul here in writing to Timothy tells Timothy, said, I write to you that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. This idea of the church being the universal organization that Paul is telling Timothy, you need to know how to conduct yourself in your relationship that you have with God. Does the application apply to the local church? Yes. I'm not saying it does not, but again, it carries over that you're going to carry over. Do I need to know how to conduct myself when we come together? Yes. I need to have a proper conduct because of the relationship that I have with the Father. That when I come here, things that I'm responsible for. But again, it's a relationship that I have with the Father. I always conduct myself. Why? Because I am the pillar and the ground of truth. I am the church. I am the called out person who has this relationship with the Father. So I am to conduct myself in a certain way in this world, with these, especially with other individuals, in society, in the home, and concerning the civil government. And so it's the individual responsibilities. Again, we looked at these are divine institutions. God ordained the government, God ordained the home, as well as the society. But again, they are not synonymous with the church. Okay? It's just a character that I must maintain in all of these. That is the character. Again, as we mentioned, the home and the government are not spiritual organizations, even though they may contain Christians. That does not make them a spiritual organization, because they exist only in this world. And again, a Christian is a Christian in the home, and a Christian is a Christian when dealing with the civil government. And I must always conduct myself in the proper manner to show obedience to God's Word because of the relationship I have to Him. Not the relationship that I may have with Larry or Donnie, but because of the relationship that I have with the Father in Heaven, who has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. But again, we can see, as we talk about, as a father or mother or whatever in the home, it involves more than just spiritual matters. Okay, true, you have an obligation as an individual father or as an individual mother in the home. You're to teach your children. You provide certain things. But this is also going to involve social things with your children. Okay, such as school. Entertainment, recreation. It's going to involve all those. In government, Larry may be an overseer here in the local church, but what is he concerning the local government? He's an overseer in nothing. He's in subjection to those authorities. So again, as a Christian, I have these, because I'm associated as a Christian in a spiritual organization, in society and such, I'm just a Christian who are under obligations by my Father to do certain things. And so again, hopefully you can understand that. An individual has a wider freedom in benevolent work than that of the congregation. I'm at liberty to do more than a local can do because of the restrictions, because of the relationship that I sustain to all here. We are limited in what we can do. And again, that's the concept of 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 16, that the church be not burdened. that restrictions has been placed upon a local congregation in what they can do. It's not to relieve those who it talks about in verse 8, that those individuals who are to provide for their own, especially those of their own household. It would be a good word study to see who is involved in the household. When you talk about the household of Cornelius, who are you dealing with? All that's associated with him. Not only those of who is under the roof, but who makes up that whole household in relationships, okay, that you have responsibility to. Again, we as individuals are to give a certain portion of our means to the congregation, and we've discussed that. When we're told that we are to purpose in our heart what we are to give for the relationship that we have here at Mill Street with one another, I am to take in consideration of all the other relationships that I have because of the relationship that I have with my Father, separate and apart from this, that I must fulfill. If I do everything and give all my money here, then I have sinned and not purposing in that relationship that I have with the Father. And so I have, as we looked at, we'll continue to look at such verses as James 1, verse 27, Galatians 6, and verse 10, that if I give all my money thinking that benevolence that goes on here is to take care of all those people, then I've done wrong. That's my responsibility. And so we are to give a certain portion for that, and we'll look at for a certain function, and a certain function only. It's not to be widespread as that which I can do with my own under the guidelines that I have from my Father. Part of which I give here at this local may go to benevolence. But again, that benevolence is limited of what it's spent for, okay? That we'll look later on. But we are also to support those relatives as we have or those who are in our household with the earnings that I make. And again, the emphasis when you look at verse 4 of 1 Timothy 5, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them, and we'll look at these verses again, let them show piety home and to repay their parents. The application I made, a parent is not to repay their child. The emphasis that Paul puts you here on, that you're to put yourself in position in your work and stuff, that you repay your parents. You're to show honor them in such a way. Now, that again, this piety carries with it a broad definition. It's not only to honor, to take care of them, to love them, be patient with them. It has the aspect of the material also, that you take care of those parents. But again, we live in a world that it seems like the strings are never broken. The parents are always in the emphasis of the money, of taking care of their children, because of wastefulness or whatever it may be, that is not followed no longer. But the emphasis is put upon the individual. The child is to care for their parents on that. James 2 and verse 15. Someone read 15 and 16 of James chapter 2.
If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that?
Again, the answer is if a brother or sister, here's an individual responsibility that I have, that one of you say to them, depart and be in peace, that I provide that, okay? I'm to provide those things. Again, the application may be broad. Again, James 1, verse 27, pure religion undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit with the aspect of helping in any way that you can, okay? Galatians 6 and verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. And all this is under what I have purposed with myself to do. Okay? On that. It talks about widows, orphans, needy. In this command, just thought, see what you think. Who is excluded to help? As an individual, I'm to help who? The widows, the orphans, those who are destitute, those that I have opportunity to help, who's excluded? Huh?
A man that won't work.
Okay, again, am I under limitations in a certain way of who I can help as an individual? No, I'm just talking about in general. As an individual, I'm under guidelines to help. But am I under guidelines who to help in a certain way? Or is that just, you understand what I'm saying?
You have to that question.
Huh? If anybody comes along, you have to
with that question. Is that what you're asking?
What do you think, as far as a household, that the emphasis is placed upon the child is to help that children that are under no constraint whatsoever to be a good steward or whatever of the things that God has given them, but they squander and waste and spend and do not take other things into consideration. What about that person?
No, because when you help people in certain situations, then you are taking from your own responsibilities to your children or neighbors or members of the church or whoever that is deserving of help, that limits you then what you can do if you're helping many people that drink, chew, smoke, and spend their money on stuff that they don't need. We're to help people fulfill their needs, and help doesn't all time mean supplying a person's physical wants.
So are there guidelines for individuals of how we are to do those things that the Master or that God has blessed us with? Okay?
To be a good steward.
To be a good steward then would involve what, Bernice? It's to manage it. Not only from your time, the physical resources, your earnings, anything that falls under that, that you would be a good steward. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is kind of what Colleen touched upon, beginning with verse 9. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will what? What's to be the result of that? Okay. Are we, as individuals, when it talks about in James chapter 2 that we would have to help the destitute, those who are in need, are we under obligation to that person?
Why are they in need?
Huh? Why are they in need? Again, when you look at it, we are under obligation not only as a local, with that common treasure we have, to help a certain type of person. 1 Timothy 5 deals with a widow indeed, or who is needy, making the distinction between there are some who are not in a certain situation. But again, that person that is in hungry, am I under obligation as an individual Christian, the relationship that I have with God, to take care of that person?
If they're a widow indeed, that's our responsibility.
Yeah, it is. But I'm talking about an individual who will not work.
No. Yeah. A widow indeed doesn't have any family members to take care of.
Well, it's much more that Paul places upon that too, right?
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Okay.
I got my saw with me. You're not under obligation, but you could help at your choice. You could help. You haven't sinned if you do. If you do help, you could use it as a teaching opportunity. Because when we're faced with those opportunities, we need to take advantage of them. We can't just say no, we could say no and walk off, but if we use it as an opportunity to try to teach and help, at least then they know the teaching that they're supposed to receive. Then later on, if they still refuse, then I think you have more of a reason then to say, no, I can't help you anymore. You know the difference between right and wrong. You know what your responsibilities are, and you choose not to do them. Then I think that gives me a better position once I know. It's like admonition after the first and second admonition. Okay, once you know in your mind that that person knows after the first and second admonition, then how are you to treat him?
Okay. And with that, and I agree, it's something we've got to use, if you will, some common sense. Again, am I under obligation? No. But as a relationship that I sustain with the Father, what is my greatest responsibility?
Teach them God's Word.
Teach God's Word. We're going to look at the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, upon those who receive the Word, what was the greatest thing they done? They went everywhere preaching. Okay? Was benevolence involved? Yes. But that's not what the emphasis was upon. It was upon that. And again, we've got to use, when you see a trend over and over and over, people who are constantly, week in and week out, what? Need money. Then there's something wrong. By giving is not going to solve the problem. You've got, if you will, change something else. Giving money, if they cannot control the money, is not going to bring them out of debt. You can give them $1,000, $5,000, they'll waste it and they're still in debt. So the greatest thing you could do for them is not do that. But again, these are individual responsibilities that we need to look at. He goes on to say, for we hear that some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but busybodies. Now those who are such, we command you and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat your own bread. So you're always going to have those individuals that are coming under the aspect of we need this. Is it wrong to ask questions such as concerning their needs? Okay? It's something that we can do, okay? What about as far as a local church and the relationship they have caring for needy? Is it wrong for the elders to ask those needy saints questions concerning of how their budget or whatever they budget their money?
It's not wrong. You better do that.
Okay. Because elders likewise in this common treasury are to be good stewards of what?
Money,
okay? And so it's something we need to consider, that we need, as a good steward, when I place myself in this relationship with my Father, who blesses me with spiritual blessings, that I am to be a good steward of all that He has entrusted with me. Larry?
In order to carry out verse 12, we command and exhort, then I have to know the circumstances.
Right. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 10. And here we have, as far an example of one, if you will, destitute or in need, and what is involved in caring for that individual. It's called the parable of the Good Samaritan. Someone, if you will, read... begin with verse 30 of Luke chapter 10 through 36.
Jesus took up the question and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him, and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. When he saw him, he passed on by on the other side. In the same way, the Levite, when he arrived at the place and saw him, passed on the other side. The Samaritan on his journey came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring out oil and wine. Then he took him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. When I come back, I will reimburse you for whatever extra you spend. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?
When you look at what Janet read here in this, In James chapter 2, again verse 15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, again this individual being destitute, he talks about, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, and you not give them the thing which is needed. What's the problem? What's the contrast in those two? In James chapter 2 and Luke chapter 10.
All right. And here in Luke, he had no control over what happened to him that put him in this situation.
Okay. That's one point. What's another one?
Luke 10 deals with an unbeliever, more or less as a Samaritan, outside of their group and the laws and so forth. And James is dealing with a brother or sister in the context of spiritual.
Again, and point, a good point on that, as I already mentioned, on that, an unbeliever. Who do, if you look, laws only apply to Christians concerning your neighbor. I'm good, I didn't hear much.
Did you say do they?
Yeah, only apply to Christians. As a Christian, I'm not.
No.
Right. The point that Larry made, an unbeliever. We have responsibilities as created beings, if you will, on that. To help those. And those are points. Still not what I'm looking for. It's the idea of what one done and one didn't do. Okay? To what extent did the Good Samaritan go for this individual? It's more than say, well, I hope you're happy and be filled. What did he do?
He bound up his wounds, poured oil on it, put him on his own beast, tucked him to the inn, and went well far above that and beyond that. He said, if there's anything more, put it to my expense, I'll pay it when I come back.
With that, what lesson do we learn today? We supply their needs, but when does those needs stop?
When they're took care of.
He says here, take care of him, whatever more you spend, it extends, as Don says, beyond that original help. It extends to whatever degree I must continue to help that person who fell into this situation. It's not that I give a one-time thing and I forget. Here, I give this, I give this much, I help him this much. The thought is I continue until that situation is taken care of. That's to be the extent of which I help Lowell.
This was not something that he did on purpose, though.
No. That's why, again, when you look, at the, again, it's a situations in life, sickness, whatever it may be, that's going to cause you to be put in a situation that, if you were able, would not take place. And again, the destitute of that, on that. So, that's the extent that we're to help as individuals. We're to go beyond whatever it takes above the call, if you will, let's say in the call of duty to help someone. If not someone we meet one time and we forget, we're continuing to look into their need until that need, if you will, is satisfied. We'd ask the question again, what would be an advantage of an individual doing something that could be the advantage of an individual doing something more than a local congregation doing something as far as concerning this Good Samaritan? What would be the advantage, say, of Larry helping this person from the Good Samaritan than just a local congregation doing something?
I have more flexibility.
You have more flexibility? Anything else?
More influence. Have more influence on the individual.
We mentioned that. Suppose Donnie came to me or came to the local here and says, there's such and such a person, just giving an example, okay, that's in need. And a collection of stuff is taken up just from the members here. And Donnie takes that back to that individual who's in need. Who is that individual associating with? Well, I gave money. Okay, the idea, this brings us face to face with hardships and sufferings of others. Does it not? Who do you think remembered the Good Samaritan? Do you think you remember the Levite, or this individual that suffered, the Levite, or others that passed by? Who did you remember?
The Samaritan.
The Samaritan. Why? Because of the deed that he done. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. There's many passages that we look at this when we look at the life of Christ. We'll close after we read these. Matthew 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sick and every disease among the people. That Christ was out, that he associated with those individuals. He was able to see the sufferings and such as they went through. Mark 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus was moved with what? We were able to witness the sufferings that human or mankind goes through. Luke chapter 7. Beginning with verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went to the city, a city called Nain, and many of his disciples with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had what? This idea that this interacting with those in need should cause us to what?
Have compassion.
Have compassion. If I do not witness that, but I send my money with Donnie, what's my vision of this person? The only thing I can relate to is what Donnie's told me. But Christ was able to see those things. And we're able to witness many things, many tragedies and stuff in life. Even with our inner own families, we may have our family members who are suffering that we see day in and day out. A slow death takes place. And I'll think of Pete, Carol's husband. Day in and day out, that you're able to see this individual. Each day life goes from that individual. And I can tell Larry all about what I've seen. It means probably nothing to Larry until you see it. The suffering that someone goes through. And who does that individual remember? Who is that? Who is there each day doing those things that the Good Samaritan done for taking care of them? That's my individual responsibility. Anything else, Mr. Warren? Next week, Lord's willing, we'll deal with the concept of a local church.